Sarvabhibhutanam Harir Atmat Madhav Priya Shreyasham Api Sarvesham Atma Yavadir Artata Sarvesham Api Bhutanam Harir Atmat Madhav Priya Shreyasam Api Sarvesham Atma Yavadir Artata Sarvesham Api Bhutanam Harir Atmat Madhav Priya Shreyasham of auspicious activities. Api, certainly. Sarvesham, all. Atma, the self. He, certainly. Avadhi, destination. Artata, factually. Sarvesham, of all. Api, certainly, Bhutanam, living entities, Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atma, the Supersoul, Atmata, who can give us our original identity, Priya, very dear. Translation. Factually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all self-realization. Consequently, the goal of all auspicious activities, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. purport. The living entity is the marginal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the material world is the external energy. Under the circumstances, one must understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is factually the original source of both matter and spirit. This is explained in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 7:4-5. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano buddhir eva cha ahankara ityam me bhinna prakritir astada aparyayam itastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabhaho yayedham dharyate jagata. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight compromise my separated material energies. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The entire cosmic manifestation is but a combination of matter and spirit. The spiritual part is the living entity, and these living entities are described as prakriti, or energy. The living entity is never described as purusha, the supreme person. Therefore, to identify the living entity with the supreme Lord is simply ignorance. The living entity is the marginal potency of the supreme Lord, although there is factually no difference between the energy and the energetic. The duty of the living entity is to understand his real identity. When he does, Krishna gives him all the facilities to come to the platform of devotional service. That is the perfection of life. This is indicated in the Vedic Upanishad. Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas, tasyaisha atma vrinute tanum svam. Lord Krishna confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam pridipurvakam didami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. The conclusion is that one must come to the platform of bhakti yoga. Even though one may begin with karma yoga, jnana yoga, or astanga yoga, unless one comes to the platform of bhakti yoga, self-realization or realization of the absolute truth cannot be achieved. So here Narad Muni is speaking on, you know, the essence, the very important elements of devotional service. So, what's being pointed out basically again and again is that if the devotion to the Supreme Lord is not there, then whatever you're doing, it's a waste of time. Right? It's not perfect. So, this would mean that there are the activities that we're performing. There's the knowledge that we have to perform those activities. There's the elements of the analyzation of the elements that we're using to perform that activity. And then there's the consciousness by which we perform that activity. So Narad Muni is making the point that if the consciousness is not right, you're not actually getting the benefit. Because the material benefits that you get, but if you're not conscious of Krishna, what's the use? The spiritual elements, and here when we say spiritual, we are meaning not material, meaning understanding we're not the body, the soul, the eternal nature of the soul, these kind of elements, where one is performing those recommended activities and knowledge that's in the mode of goodness. But if it's not connected to the Supreme Lord, it's also useless. So it's not a given that automatically because you're doing something, that automatically the consciousness is correct. Right? So therefore, he's pointing out is one must be aware of this. Right? Of course, Krishna is very kind that when it's trying to do things for him, even if consciousness is an ideal, Krishna takes that into consideration. That's not a problem. Right? Just like the child is doing something, and they're trying very sincerely, then that pleases the adults. It doesn't matter whether they're successful at what they're doing. The adults are pleased, because the attempt was sincere. So that its sincerity means we're Krishna conscious. Otherwise, this only comes up. See, this is only being pointed out because it has to be known. But if we fall into we just do things automatically, we're not thinking about them, or if we become proud of our abilities in karma, jnana, yoga, or all these various aspects, analyzations and knowledge of the scriptures and austerities, then the problem comes that pride will get in the way, because now you're proud, you're not Krishna conscious. So this ability to discriminate is very important. It's a very simple point, but sometimes a neglected point. Because we're just basically, okay, there's material life, we just did whatever we did, and now we're in spiritual life, we're doing whatever we do. Yes, that's there. Yes. It's seen like that. But development of prema is coming because you want it. And you can only want something that you're conscious of. Right? You can't get something that you're not conscious of. You're performing an endeavor, you're not conscious of what you're trying to get. Will you get it? Right? Or even if you got it, you won't know that you got it, so you'll neglect it. Does this make sense? So if you're not conscious that you're trying to develop love for Krishna, then it'll just delay getting love for Krishna. You stay in the path, you stay in the process, one's getting purified, so one's chances of doing that are getting greater and greater by the moment. But still, you have to be conscious of Krishna to develop love for him to actually get it. He's conscious of us, he loves us, so the point is how does the qualification is we're reciprocating in the same way. Right? We're always conscious of him, we're always acting on that platform of affection. Then, now it matches. Right? So one has to be conscious. So one has to be able to discriminate within the spiritual as to what is simply just the forms, activities, the knowledge, you know, that are all recommended and all important. But still, the importance of the important is that bhakti, right? It's always mentioned. The king of knowledge, right? Because the Vedas only describe knowledge as being able to discriminate the difference between matter and spirit. If it's not doing that, it's not knowledge. It's called avidya. Right? So what's the knowledge of the knowledge? Is that spiritual, that the essence is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Does that make sense? So one may be doing the activities, the recommended activities, but if one doesn't have the consciousness, one's not getting the full benefit. So in other words, Narada Muni's recommending that our consciousness matches our activities. If we're fully engaged in Krishna's service, great. Then we should see that the consciousness is also. Then we'll get the result. So this ability to be able to tell what is what's real and what's not, this is important. Otherwise, we tend to just, the spirit, it's all one. And then if we do that, the fun part is then we will discriminate within the material. This is Maya's trick. You have to discriminate, so it's just where? Within the spiritual or within the material? One who does within the spiritual can within the material because he sees it as the reflection. But one who does it in the reflection actually can't understand the original. But because it's a reflection, it looks pretty close. Right? The arm in the mirror pretty much looks like the arm on the, you know, connected to your shoulder. But it's still not what is still not complete. Does that make sense? Right? So, yeah. So Narad Muni is just bringing these out. So that means all auspicious activities, Krishna is the goal. So there is, it means if you only, human beings only do auspicious activities. And so Krishna is the goal of all that. So if you can't make the connection, then you haven't thought well enough. If you can't see the connection between what you're doing and Krishna, right, then it's not enough. Right? Or, but that's not good enough. Does it work like that? Yeah, of course I'm committed to the business. Yeah. Yeah, of course I'm committed to the relationship. Of course. Why are you worried? Do either of these work? No. So why? Well, of course, it's the devotional service. We're all doing devotional service. What do you mean, Prabhu? Why is it there in the spiritual? It's the opposite. Right? There's only one group of philosophers that I know of that they make this distinction, that the spiritual is opposite of the material. And they're called impersonalists. No, the material is the reflection of the spiritual. It's not because you're doing the material, it's the opposite. It's because it's a reflection of. The problem is it's not complete. So when you add the personality of Godhead, it becomes complete. Then whatever you're doing has value. That's the thing. The positive side, the devotee, is whatever he's engaged in, whatever his situation, is perfect because it's connected to Krishna. Right? But if we take that for granted, which is good as an identity, but then we won't be really focused on what's happening. And as soon as you're not focused, things go, you have a problem. It's like that in anything. You ride your bicycle, you're not paying attention, you bump into something. Right? You're doing anything. You're cooking, you're not paying attention. You know, anything. It doesn't matter. You don't. The moment you don't pay attention, that's when the problem comes. So in Krishna consciousness, it's the same. Right? That makes sense. So in the spiritual world, no one has a problem because everybody's conscious. Okay, so the entire, he's pointing out here, the entire cause of manifestation is a combination of matter and spirit. So now it's a matter of discriminating what is what. What actually is the spiritual aspect. Right? Does that make sense? We're in the kitchen cooking. What is the spiritual aspect? Our pots are spiritual? I mean, I got them really, really good glaze. You know, also on sale, of course. You know? The ingredients is what is spiritual. Right? The gas, definitely the gas is spiritual, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? So what's spiritual? It's the consciousness. So that's the way it is with everything that you're doing. Now what's recommended, the Shastras are saying, what you work with and how you work with it, do it in the mode of goodness. Because all you're working with is material energy. And it's very easy to apply Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, on the mode of goodness. That's why it's of importance. Otherwise, on its own, it's just nice matter. That's all. That's what it's like. It's not that because we're cooking vegetarian that it's automatically spiritual. Well, there's plenty of people that are vegetarian. Like that. You know what I'm saying? So many birds are vegetarian. So the idea is that it's the consciousness that makes it spiritual. Does that make sense? So in other words, performing the recommended activities in the right consciousness, that's the key. But it's not that if I'm performing the recommended activities and I'm not Krishna conscious, still everything is fine. Right? If it's just by lack of practice and habit that we're distracted because we've been doing like that for a long time, still, it's just like the small child, but they're sincerely trying, right? It means, in other words, their consciousness is good, their skill is not necessarily very great, right? And it's not that they're not distracted and doing other things and all that kind of stuff. But the point is in their mind, they're really focused. So if that attitude is there, it works very nice. And then everything's positive. But if we ever become complacent or proud or try to justify our particular attachments to the material ingredients, whatever mode they're in, right? The pro-Vedics, it's the mode of goodness stuff. The non-pro-Vedics, it's always passion and ignorance. Nobody should fool themselves. Right? So, but then we make a philosophy why that's more important than devotional service. So that's a mistake. That's what Narada Muni is talking about. Consequently, the goal of all auspicious activities, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, is the Supreme Personality of God. He's also mentioned bhakti. Because you can do it with devotion, as we were discussing the other day. That Shankaracharya established in one of his temples in South India, they're all Mayavadis, hardcore Mayavadis. But everything they do is based on the devotional process. They all chant Hare Krishna Kirtan, like about 5 hours every day. Everything's about the deity, devotion to the deity, everything like that. At one time, I think the temple had a fire, and in south there, this area, then everything's made out of wood. So, and also in the tradition, then the deity is cemented in, actually cemented. So then, when the fire started, the head pujari just saw the fire, ran in, picked up the deity, and ran back to his house. The deity was cemented in, but he picked it up and ran off with it. And why? Right? They're Mayavadis. You know, what does it matter? But they're using the process of devotion to get their impersonal realization. Does that make sense? So devotion is a process, but the goal of that process should be Krishna. So that's all we've ever learned. We haven't learned that it can be used in other ways. That's why we have to be very careful that we don't use it in other ways. Right? It's very simple. So it's straightforward. You use the recommended activities to please Krishna, then everything's fine. So we stick to that, but we have to be very careful that it's not automatic that we've either, one, used the recommended activities, or two, used them to please Krishna. So we simply focus that that's what we're doing, then everything's fine. Everything's perfect. So that's what Narada Muni is, one of the aspects Narada Muni is pointing out here. Any questions or comments? No, yes. Just...
would be Ajamil. He chanted the name Narayan, and he wasn't even thinking of God at all. He was thinking about his son.
Yes.
So he attained, eventually he attained Vaikuntha.
Right.
So, is the activity potent enough that if the consciousness is not there, you'll still get the result? This is the, because you were kind of saying that if the consciousness is not there, then you won't get the result. But is the activity of bhakti so potent that even if the consciousness is not there, you'll still get the result?
Means consciousness absolutely has to be there. Because an ajamil sees why we're bringing these things out, because generally we're either used to, you know, get out there and distribute the books or you know, some analytical point in the philosophy, or, you know, it's devotional service, everything's perfect, or, you know, we're just being practical and using this particular aspect of material energy, you know, in some special way and through some seminar. Generally, we never hear this point, that if you don't discriminate in devotional service, how you'll get the full result. So that's why I bring it out. It's not to, you know, throw a wet blanket on things, because as we point out is that it's very simple, but the point is it's also very simple to get off track. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. Is that it, when you're driving down the highway, you know, let's say you're driving east or west and you're going on one of the, you know, highways there. You know, it's an 8-lane highway, but if you're not paying attention, then, you know, half a degree off on your steering wheel, and, you know, after some miles, you'll go off the road. So all it takes, that little bit of consciousness, you'll stay on the road. It's an 8-lane highway, you know, and you're the only one there, so it's easy enough. What we're pointing out is still, even though it's easy enough, you still have to be conscious. That's the point. So Ajamil, what happened by remembering Narayan there, he didn't go to hell. But we see is from the Bhagavatam, then he became convinced and then became fixed in his bhajan. So he came to the platform of Nishta. So he came back and then he just moved into the temple. And then from the platform of Nishta, he was performing his devotional service. And very quickly, Ruchi, Asakti, and then Bhava like this, and then he came to the platform, you know, to the platform of prema, right? So the point is devotional service is so powerful, it's more powerful than anything else. So, and once you've started it, it won't be lost. That's its ultimate power. But if you're offensive to devotees, you can reduce it. You can lose it. So that's why that warning is pointed out. Only because not that devotional service isn't so powerful. It's that the point of devotional service is serving Krishna and the association of the devotees. You don't like devotees, you're not going to like, what are you going to do with Krishna? You know, it's just me and Krishna, you know, we're just going to hang out all day. No, it's Krishna's always with. So therefore, Vaishnavas are important. Krishna is always conscious of the Vaishnavas. So therefore, when we're conscious of the Vaishnavas, then it works. You know, so does that make sense? So a simple point like that, that's the whole point, is that it's basically foolproof just that we have to, you know, not exercise our, you know, God-given right of being born as fools to mess it up like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's all positive, but we're just pointing it out that it shouldn't be taken for granted. That's the thing. That's something else. Yes.
Thank you. When you're talking about being conscious, it appears like it's knowledge, applying knowledge to be conscious of something. And in our devotional service, Prabhupada calls it functional devotional service. But there's also a state when you're actually aware of conscious, you're conscious of conscious itself. Mm-hmm. When does that take place, or how does that? Otherwise it seems like knowledge is not really sufficient.
You mean it's functional. Basically, you can say the main means you have all the different levels. Of course, prema means it's complete. Bhava will be what you'd say is it's very solid here because one has adopted the actual consciousness of the spiritual world. One's adjusted with it. One may not have the consciousness of prema, but one has adjusted with it, and that's all you're interested in, because bhava means you're liberated, so there is no material attachments. And from that, then you perform the activities following the footsteps of the devotees, and that comes to that natural, spontaneous platform, and that love develops. So now this bhava, its state, that potency of bhava, because it's the bud of prema, so technically on the spiritual platform, there isn't something else. It's not that sadhana bhakti is something else. So the potency of sadhana bhakti is actually bhava. Just it's in a lesser and lesser form. Right? So therefore, then in the madhyama state, then it's one is able to work with the conditioned nature, but not be minimally distracted by it. So you can say is that's where it becomes actually very dynamic, because one is fixed or regular in one's service, regular in the consciousness, whatever level it is. The point is consistency. So there's the element of the depth or the intensity also. That's why we see in samadhi is considered perfect, because the intensity of remembrance is complete and very deep. But in dhyan, you're remembering Krishna all the time, but the intensity of it hasn't come. And before that, then your smriti, anusmriti, means it's less, quite frequent or occasional or sometimes. So the element of being steady and then the depth. So if we're steady, then we can get depth. So that's the whole thing, is when steadiness is there, then the taste comes. So that's already going deeper. When the taste comes, it goes deeper into attachment. When that attachment is there, it goes deeper into bhava. So the principle that's when Sutta Goswami explains is that by regular hearing the Bhagavatam and the association of devotees, then all the things that are a problem in the heart become reduced. Right? So this jnana and vairag, they naturally come as a side thing. And so then one is able to become stable in devotional service. Right? So therefore, why we're saying is that at this point one is more conscious that this is predominantly what you want to do. It means this is what you want to do. Now, it's the predominance of what you do, but it's not necessarily the totality of what you do. Because if all you did was 101% devotional service, it wouldn't be called madhyama, right? Intermediate, because intermediate means that it's in between, not so good and good, right? So therefore, it's stable, it's steady, it's dynamic, it's where the devotional process speeds up very, very greatly. Right? The example that Vishwanath gives is that it's like dry leaves blowing away in the wind. You know, like a storm comes, the dry leaves, they just scatter, you know. But if you go out there and you're raking the leaves, picking them up, you know, it's difficult going and picking up the anartas and getting them, gathering them up. But when the storm comes, they just blow away. So that's the Madhyama platform. It's like that. It goes that quick. It goes quickly like that. But the point is because the focus has become regular. That's why it's steady. That's why it's nishta bhajana kriya. The difficulty is in anishta bhajana kriya. You know that the goal is Krishna. You know devotional service is the perfection. You know I'm servant of Krishna. And developing love for Krishna is what you want to do. But one is by habit distracted by so many other things. So one has been doing in the material world since time immemorial. You're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all this kind of stuff. So the dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all the good works of the world, you know, however you define good by one's conditioning. So, but that's why we're saying you have to keep the prominence that if it's done for Krishna, that's where its perfection is. Not in its skill is perfect. You know, if we get the skill perfect, then Krishna consciousness will flourish. Or if we do this presentation, then Krishna consciousness will flourish. Or if we have this facility or this money or more people or something. No, it's if you're Krishna conscious, then Krishna consciousness will go better. Like that. I was remembering in the temple I was in St. Louis, I think on that, this one Sunday, then because you'd have the Sunday program, then we'd just go out on Harinam. And it's Sunday, is also the locals would go out to various places in the city. So the city only had, I think, three main places to go. You know, a certain park, a certain mall, I don't even remember. But people would go to those places. So, you know, like that. So then we would go out to those places, and a couple hours here, a couple hours there, a couple hours at the last place, and then go back for the program. And after being at the third place, a few people had commented. They came up and said, "How many thousands of you guys are there? Everywhere I go, you're there doing kirtan, you know?" They didn't know that when they got in their car and went to the next place, we also got in our car and went to the next place. But that's the point, is that sincerity, that focus, that consciousness, it makes it all work. It's not the facilities, it's not what you have. That's just Krishna gives it, because then if you're conscious, you can use bigger facilities. Right? So the actual qualification for more facilities is more consciousness, not more skill. Right? Sometimes the success gurus will say it's more skill, but it's more consciousness. The difference between the success guru and everyone sitting in that room is he's more conscious of what he's talking about than anybody sitting in that room. And anybody who's talking about his successes because they're more conscious. That's the key. But we'll take it as skill. That's the trick. Right? But it's not the skill, it's the consciousness. If the consciousness is there, skill will develop. It's a byproduct. You know, if you practice something, you naturally become good at it. But if you're not conscious of what you're practicing, you won't become good at it. So the actual key is the consciousness. So if the devotee is always conscious that he's trying to be Krishna conscious, whether he's good at it or not, because the neophyte means he may be good in some areas, in some areas he's quite weak. So overall, it's not as fixed as the Madhyama. Madhyama means overall, it's mainly fixed. And then there's a few areas of weakness. Well, then the neophyte means there's more areas of weakness, though there may be some areas where he's really good. But it's just a matter of time. If what consciousness is there, it will naturally spread. Because devotional service is real substance. And Maya is not. The problem is it doesn't matter how much substance is there. If we're focused on the illusion, then we're in illusion. That's the point. And it doesn't matter how much illusion is there. If we're focused on Krishna, then we're in transcendence. That's the thing. So it's this whole point of consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, the form is there and it's important. Like that. You can't function without it, but still the essence of the form is consciousness of Krishna. It's Bhagavan. That's why Krishna, that's one of the most essential points in the Chatur-Shloki Bhagavatam, is Krishna's already described how he's entered everything, he's there in everything. He was there before, he's there after. He is existence, he is the values, he is that potency, he's the attraction, everything. And he's what makes the world work. He's the laws, he's the energy, he's the skill, he's the knowledge, he's all that. Then he says, but I'm a person beyond all that. So that's why this point comes up. Is that even though one's doing everything perfectly, still one has to be conscious of the person who you are trying to please through those forms, which are Krishna. So it's not that when we're saying you have to be conscious that the activities aren't spiritual and aren't devotional, but it's still, the point is bhakti comes from bhakti. It doesn't come from skill. Right? Skill comes from bhakti. Is that okay?
Could you explain how it is that the living entities are sustaining the universe?
How the living entities are?
Sustaining the universe.
How they're sustaining the universe. Let's just like say, why is there a jail? Right? It means the government's, you know, managing it. But why is the jail being maintained? Because there's criminals. So the material world is sustained because the living entities want it. It's not that they're going out and, you know, doing something. Krishna is taking care of it through his energies. But it wouldn't be here if the living entities weren't here. So all the activity you see in different things, that's all because of the living entities. You know, they're saying that tree's there. Well, I didn't put the tree there, but that tree wanted to be there. It did the karma that it's exactly in that spot. Right? You know, because in that spot, then it gets the morning suns predominantly because there's no other trees. And on the other side, it's only got coconut trees. So, you know, a little bit, you know, three or four in the afternoon, it loses a little sun. Like that. But you go farther up, then there's a tree. It's in front of the building there. So it doesn't get the morning sun or the afternoon sun. It only gets, like, let's say, from 10:30 to 2. That's karma. So that tree is exactly there because there's karma. So everything's arranged because the living entities have their karma. Does that make sense? It's not an excuse to, see, we're God. I told you so. You know, so no, it can't be used that way. Okay. Something else? Oh, yes.
Maharaj, sacrifice, is there a connection between sacrifice and renunciation?
Between sacrifice and renunciation.
Renunciation of suffering.
Renunciation of?
Suffering.
Suffering.
So at some point, initially
so
it may appear like
you
sacrifice.
Want to renounce suffering. You might be onto something here. I think it would fly. I think in the world you could sell that one. You know, start a whole movement. Yes, we're here to renounce suffering. We're only here to enjoy. You'd probably get a lot of support. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, the point is that in the beginning, something may appear like it is sacrifice, but at later stages, it may appear like, oh yeah, we renounced, we have stepped away from suffering.
We've stepped away from suffering.
Or, I have not chosen suffering.
So you're saying step away from suffering, step into the happiness, like the Upanishadic verse, you know.
Just, it's an intellectual.
Move from the darkness into the light, move from the suffering into that. I mean, it's not clear, your use of terminologies isn't clear enough. You know what I'm saying? So sacrifice means you're performing your prescribed duties, but they're for the benefit of someone else. That's sacrifice, right? So now there's two levels of the sacrifice, renunciation and sannyas, right? And it's just a matter of the consciousness. Renunciation means I perform the sacrifice, I get the result, then I give it up. You understand? The person, he does it, he does the, let's say he does some business thing, he gets the money, and it's his money, right? No one complained, he did the work, and now he renounces it, he gives it to Krishna, or gives it to the Vaishnava, something like that. That's called renunciation, right? Sannyas means before you start the work, you've already given up the result. So you're only working for the benefit of Krishna. You understand? So sannyas is actually an attitude. So the idea in the Vedic culture is everybody should be sannyasis by consciousness. And then you do that through whatever is the particular facilities that's natural for your conditioning. Does that make sense? In other words, someone situated in Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, Brahmachari, or Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra by their conditioning. Now it's a matter of how you deal with that conditioning, whether you deal with for yourself, you know, or you're able to share it, right? So for yourself is just selfish, then you share it, you know, by, okay, well, you give some of it to Krishna, so it's sakam. You know, karma, or the results for Krishna, it's nishkam. You understand? So it's just a matter of just that consciousness and that practice. So the point is if it's done for Krishna, one doesn't suffer. Right? And suffering also is a state of your consciousness. Because what one person will call suffering, someone else calls, it's really, really nice. You know, so that's the thing, is in conditioning, what one person likes, another person doesn't like. So it's not that there's the only way you can say absolutely this is suffering and this is not, is in comparison again with Krishna. In other words, what's in connection with Krishna, that's nice, and what's not is suffering. It may be nice suffering, but it's still suffering. Right? You're laying on the beach, you know, at the Riviera, but you have a sunburn. Right? You know, so it's the same sunburn as if you were somehow or another doing something out, throwing out the trash in the Bronx, and you got a sunburn. now you can say there's no lawn, there's no time out there, but as you came out to throw out the trash and a bunch of guys from the next block saw you and chased you around the block, you know, and so therefore you got the sunburn. Okay? So the point is, this is a sunburn. Doesn't matter if you got it in a nice way or in a not nice way, it's still a sunburn. So whether you're bound by gold chains or whether by iron chains, you're still bound. So that's the whole point. So if you're doing it for Krishna, you're not bound. So then how much the effect of binding will be there according to your consciousness. A devotee is, all devotees are liberated. It's just a matter of whether you understand that you are. You understand? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like someone may have been in a position of conditioning. I've heard of them going in psychological circles. They do this. Oh, it's just like, let's say, for example, let's say the elephant. The elephant, when they're small, you use a fat rope and tie up the leg and tie it to a post. Now, when they get bigger, that rope won't hold them back. You have to actually use big chains. But because they've grown up with this rope, when they were young and they were frisky, they tried to break, it didn't break. So they become conditioned to it. So when they're big, you just want to control them. You just tie a rope around and tie it to something, even though they're strong enough to break it. But they don't, because they think, I'm bound. But they're not. So the devotees, they're liberated, they're chanting, but they still think, I'm conditioned. Because the soul's not conditioned. The soul thinks it's conditioned. You understand? Because you identify with it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not. So therefore, it's a matter of practice. That's why it takes time. It's not something that goes away immediately. You have to be practiced that. Okay, there's something. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. No, we're time set. No, we'll end here. Sorry. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatara Gaura Premanandi.